And that's how all the governments that have subjected the nation of Israel, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome in the end times, force. And all the undesirables, let's get rid of them. Hitler and euthanasia. Okay, you know. Yeah. But look at this one. Look at this man here. He will not. And it's exactly the opposite of the world. His destination. He has a worldwide mission. It says he will bring, what he will do, he will not cry out nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Just the way the kingdoms of this world establish their power. Popular display. You know, the Roman processions. All the prisoners are brought back. Oh, there is celebration. And if you go into a particular company, you take over a company, down drive the tanks, down drive the down walks the army, and they're shouting out, we're in charge. If you study history, you understand that. But the Lord Jesus won't do that. And he didn't do it. And he won't do it. He doesn't cry out. What does he do? He looks for bruised reeds. He looks for smoking flax. See that there? He looks for broken people. That's how he'll do things. That's how he'll do things. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench. The very opposite of world powers. Establishing their authority. Let's get rid of the undesirables. If someone can't contribute it, we are not to fill their mouths. If someone can't contribute to society, we are not going to fill their mouths. But for the Lord Jesus Christ, he noted those who are broken in sin, particularly in his first coming. Okay? In his first coming. Yet the poor gladly received him. Son of David, have mercy on us. Save, have mercy on us. Zacchaeus, get out of the way. Get out of the way. You little runt, get out of the way. You're a tax collector. You're corrupt. Get out of the way. So he got onto the tree. And the Lord Jesus reached him, his first coming. And he will bring forth justice for truth. He will bring forth justice to truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. And the coastland shall wait for his law. That's it. He will. He will not. What a wonderful Lord this is, both in his first coming and his second coming. You see these pictures here? Snapshots. Look. Look what he's doing. Yeah, snapshots. Let's move on quickly. Or may I say, I must do this. We're just going a little bit difficult for time, but I must point this out to you. Here in Matthew chapter 12, here is the longest quotation from the servant songs in the gospel. Yes, this is our Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 12, all right? Quickly, please. Matthew chapter 12, verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him and healed them all. Yet he warned them not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, and now our passage of scripture that we have just studied. Behold my servant whom I have chosen. Behold my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him. He will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will trust. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed. See that lengthy quotation there? Yeah. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, no doubt about it. The Lord Jesus Christ. Serving in humility. Serving in humility. And then finally, point five is liberation. I love these verses back in Isaiah 42, if you can do this. Now, what is prophesied here and what is being done is just out of this world. Who can do such a thing as this that we're talking about? This sounds like a dream. Who has the power? Who has the authority to be able to do such things? Well, there's a little pause here in verse 5. You see this? Thus saith God the Lord. And then in verse 5 we have who. You see that there? I've underlined those in my Bible. Who. And before he says what he's going to do, he tells us who he is. I've got the authority. This is me. This is me. I am the one who created heaven and earth. I am the one who spread forth the earth and everything that is on it. I am the one who puts breath into every man. I, Yahweh, have called you my servant in righteousness. You see what God does? He just sets up who he is. I love those verses. This is frequent in Isaiah. God stops to declare who he is. The only one. I am the Lord, and beside me there is none else. That's the message of Isaiah. So we have here a pause where the Lord gives a stamp of authority. And now this is what he's going to do. He's going to do two things. He's going to do something for the nation of Israel, and he's going to do something for the nations of the world. He will hold his hand again. Notice that. Did you notice that there? Second time I'll hold your hand. Yes. And he says, I will keep you, that is my servant, I will keep you as a covenant to the people. That's ha'am. That's a special phrase for the Jewish people. And also as a light to the Gentiles. Now, this Gentile business, that presupposes that they are in darkness. True? You'll be a light for the Gentiles, that they'll be in darkness. You see, the Jewish people weren't in darkness. God came very, very close to them. God came and lived among them, literally, in the cloud and in the fire. That's why judgment upon them is so severe. And then he finally left them and departed back to heaven just before Nebuchadnezzar's temple was destroyed, and prophesied in Isaiah 43 that he'll come back again to the temple in Jerusalem, which the Lord Jesus Christ will build when he returns. A light for the Gentiles. Praise God, the entrance of his word to our hearts has brought us light, yes. And a covenant to the people. Yes, there's one covenant the nation of Israel has yet to enjoy that God has made with them, and that is the Jewish people, the house of Israel, the house of Judah. I will make a new covenant with the house of Judah and the house of Israel. And that has not yet been exhausted. We're waiting for the time that they will cry out to the Lord as he comes, or just before he comes, and enter into that great blessing. And then there is spiritual revelation to blind eyes and to prisoners. So we have a moving backwards and forwards, the first and second coming. So we have truths about this servant, the humble servant, and there are truths for you and me. I believe that. Truths for you and me. May the Lord help us to appreciate who the Lord Jesus is and enter into some of the blessings that are here. Now you may see a little note there, application. We can't spend too much time on that, unfortunately, but if you go to page number, as we close now, I am closing, page number 9, you will see another study, in relationship to these songs and its principles of servanthood. Principles of servanthood. That is, looking at these passages of Scripture and seeing how the servant served and the challenge to serve God like Him. On the left-hand column, there are the qualities and characteristics of the servant. Then, in the second column, we have Jesus doing that. And then in the third, we have the New Testament showing us that's what we should be like. All right? So that's a separate study altogether. I did this in the month of February in Singapore for a long weekend. And a blessed time, just this page here, and the challenge of being like Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for our wonderful Saviour. Help us to be gripped with his plans and purposes so that we may have an understanding, so that we may be equipped to go on for you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.